Lord, we ask you bless us now as we just take a look at your word. Grant us your blessing and your help. For we ask it, Father, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Rather appropriate that marriages, did you know that? Two imperfect people of the opposite sex.
Yeah.
In a loving relationship. Well, we're looking at the life of Abraham, and Abraham's arrived in the promised land, and of course everything from now on is going to be absolutely hunky-dory, isn't it?
No.
We find our faith, and his faith, came under trial. And we see one today, which is rather unfortunate to do with their marriage in many ways. So let's have a look at our next picture, please. We'll read the text then. It's from Genesis chapter 12, and it's a few verses, just 10 verses from verse 10. Genesis 12, verse 10, when Abraham is going to arrive in Canaan. Now there was a famine in the land, and Abraham went down to Egypt to live there for a while, because the famine was severe. And as he was about to enter Egypt, he said to his wife Sarai, "I know what a beautiful woman you are. When the Egyptians see you, they will say, 'This is his wife.' Then they will kill me, but let you live. Say you are my sister, so that I will be treated well for your sake, and my life will be spared because of you." When Abraham came to Egypt, the Egyptians saw that she was a very beautiful woman. And when Pharaoh's officials saw her, they praised her to Pharaoh, and she was taken into his palace. He treated Abraham well for her sake, and Abraham acquired sheep and cattle, male and female donkeys, men servants and maid servants, and camels. But the Lord inflicted serious diseases on Pharaoh and his household because of Abraham's wife Sarai. So Pharaoh summoned Abraham. "What have you done to me?" he said. "Why didn't you tell me she was your wife? Why did you say, 'She is my sister,' so that I took her to be my wife? Now then, here is your wife. Take her and go." Then Pharaoh gave orders about Abraham to his men, and they sent him on his way with his wife and everything he had. Well, what do you think of that? Well, let's have a look at the features then, please. Right, there was a famine in the land. In the promised land there was a famine. How about that? Life isn't always easy, is it? And the contrast, think about it. Abraham has arrived in this promised land, and he's left up in Ur of the Chaldees. That was in what they called the Fertile Crescent. It was a very, very fertile area. So he must be thinking, what on earth have I come to? Have you felt like that as a Christian? You know, God's moved you to somewhere and you think, why on earth am I here? Right? Well, Abraham must have thought that. And Egypt obviously seems quite an attractive option, because Egypt relies on its water supply not on the weather but on the river. Yeah, so the Nile would be a better option than the autumn and spring rains, which is what Israel depends on. Okay, life's little challenges. Yeah, famine in the land occasionally. Eh?
Yeah.
Well, there you are. Next up, please. So he went to live there for a while. It says the important thing about that phrase is he went there for a while. Obviously, I assume Abraham still believes what God told him, that he was meant to be in Canaan. But Egypt is a temporary residence, so I've got him a temporary permit there to go down there. In those days, you didn't need them. Things have improved an awful lot, haven't they? Yes. Officialdom has taken over. But Abraham didn't need that. He could move around, so he went down south. So it's not a permanent move. He's holding on to the promise. Yeah, next please. He was about to enter Egypt, and he said to his wife Sarai, and he comes up with what I call a natural solution. You've got a problem. How are you going to solve it? Well, you work it out by yourself, don't you?
Yeah.
Figure out what you're going to do. And the problem is, when you solve the problem a certain way, the chances are you'll repeat the same thing. You know, once you've done something once, it's quite easy to do it again. And we'll find that's a bit of a problem for Abraham. So, the challenge is, who do you turn to when you face a challenge? Well, Abraham turned to himself. He thought, I'd fix this one. Are you a fix-it person?
Yeah.
Well, let me offer you a bit of advice. I'm a fix-it person, but I've learnt, if you ask the Lord to help you fix it, it'll work.
Yeah.
If you try to fix it without him, I guarantee problems, right? Abraham's going to have problems, yeah, because he's doing it himself. Next slide, please. Right, he said to his wife Sarai, "I know what a beautiful woman you are." Now, beauty is in the eye of the beholder, but I think she's rather beautiful, that lady.
Yeah.
Right? And I think part of the contrast is the Egyptian women were slightly darker skinned, probably. It means probably Abraham's wife was slightly fairer skinned. They value fairer skins in these particular... In India they do as well, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
Yeah. Right, so maybe that was part of it, you know, she was slightly fairer skinned and she stood out a bit, yeah? But she's 65 years old, is Sarah, at this point in time.
Whoa.
65. They're still good looking. I read in one commentary, that's probably because she hadn't had any kids yet. Always helps, doesn't it? Kids do you in, don't they, girls? Yes, right, yeah. Possibly that's the case, but I suspect also, I mean, we read in the family of Abraham's family, the ladies were stunningly beautiful. It was in the genes as well, I guess. Yeah. So there we are. So the thing about it is, does Abraham appreciate how beautiful his wife is?
Yeah.
Well, yes, he does, but he's not going to treat her very well by what he's going to be getting up to. I think he does feel she's a bit of a threat. Not to him. She's not going to hit him with a rolling pin or anything, but she's a threat for him. That's a shame. What should he be doing? Defending his wife.
Yeah.
Right? He's going to expose her to serious dangers. Not good. Abraham, well, not quite there yet, is he? Next slide, please. Right. When the Egyptians see you, they will say, this is his wife. Then they'll kill me and let you live. Right, so that's his fears. The problem with fears is they amplify problems. Fear does that. Do you know that?
Yeah.
Yeah? If you worry about things, they get bigger. And that's the problem for Abraham, our imaginations. Our fears can be self-fulfilling. You keep worrying about it enough, it'll make it happen if you're not careful. And I would just ask the question there, is that a real risk? Is it really going to be that risk for Abraham? Or is he just imagining it and blaming the Egyptians, you know? Well, it's possible, but you know. Anyway, the thing about it to my mind is, he has forgotten the promise God made. God's going to make him a great father. That's what he says. I'll make you a great nation, yes? Right? Well, to become a great nation, he needs a great mother, doesn't he?
Yeah.
A great wife. Well, that's the problem with fear. It makes you forget promises that God's made.
Yeah.
And focus on the issues. I've given you one example, just a little one there. The waves versus Jesus. Do you know what the story's about? Peter,
yes,
walking on the water. Peter sees Jesus on the water and says, if it's you, Lord, tell me to come out. So, would you have said that? Well, Peter did. He's a good lad. So Jesus says, yes, come out. So Peter's walking on the water. Wow, brilliant, yes? And while he's looking at Jesus, he's walking. But what does he do?
He took his eyes off
Jesus and saw the problem. And when problems you start focusing on, fear starts to rise. And Peter starts not to rise, but to sink. And of course he cries out the shortest prayer in the Bible.
Help.
Help, Lord. Yes. Right. And of course Jesus went, missed him. No. Yeah. But the point I'm making is our fears can take our focus off Jesus. And the way to cure fears is to get your focus back on the Lord. Yeah? Abraham wasn't focusing on the Lord, he's focusing on his little old self and his problems. And therefore he's going to crash, which is unfortunate. Next slide, please. Right. Say you are my sister, so that I will be well treated for your sake, and my life will be spared because of you. It's a no-brainer. Yes. Right? There was a saw in the surgeon's hand, but Jean didn't like the look of the saw, so I've had to take it out. Right. Abraham's saying to his wife, she was his half-sister, I don't know if you know that, it's people do it all the time. Now again, if you love me, you'll do something which is not right. People sort of use that as a leverage, don't they? If you really love me, then you will. It's not good, it's the wrong way. Wrong way. If you really love me, you wouldn't ask me to do what you say. Yeah. That's the thing. Of course, I mean, he's not thinking. It's a no-brainer. He is not thinking. If he says that and they take her, she's compromised. Yeah. Sure as night follows day. Yeah. If he does that, they'll take her. She's going to be compromised. And where's the promise? Yeah. What's going to happen then? Yeah. And the thing I want to say is, it was a half-truth. Did you know that? Abraham's wife was his half-sister. It's a half-truth. But he didn't intend it as a half-truth. He intended it as a whole lie. Yeah? Because he doesn't want them to think that he's her wife, her husband. Yeah, that's what his intention is. Yeah? So, it's not right. And the thing, my daughter told me this, she was reading in the commentary about this. In Egyptian society in those days, one of the things that was really looked down on was lying. So he's stepping into very nasty territory. Yeah? So next one, please, yeah? Right. When Abraham came to Egypt, the Egyptians saw that Sarai was very beautiful. Well, it's starting to happen as he thought it would do, isn't it? Yes, his prophecy, I call it that, yes. Yeah. And while he's doing all this, he's jeopardizing the plan that God has for him. Isn't it strange how we can do things that mess up the plan that God has for us? But we do that. Abraham is no different to you and me. Have you found that out, yeah? Much like the rest of us, in many ways. He's a great man, the man of faith, but my goodness, he can blow it like the rest of us. Yeah, next one, please. Yeah? When Pharaoh's officials saw her, they praised her to Pharaoh, and she was taken into his palace. So, there, that's what happens, yeah? But the interesting thing is, Pharaoh's officials saw her, and of course, officials wanted to sort of get up in the world a bit, you know, and improve their position. They'd be the first to tell Pharaoh, there's a beautiful lady just turned up, just the right one for you, eh? So, butter up Pharaoh in order to improve your position. That's what the officials are doing, right? They're called creeps, did you know that?
Yeah.
Right? Don't do it, yeah. If you want the Lord to promote you, let the Lord promote you, yeah? But the officials weren't bothered, yeah? Question. Did Sarah and I have a choice in all of this?
No.
It's difficult to say. I mean, the commentaries say she agreed with Abraham, she went along with Abraham, which she did.
Yeah.
But I don't know if you got a lot of choice in the matter, do you? So, there we are, anyway. But the point being is, one lie leads to some other problem, doesn't it? He started the ball rolling, and when he starts rolling, he's a hard one to stop. Right? So, we've got more problems. Next, please. Right. He treated Abraham well for her sake, and Abraham acquired sheep, cattle, male and female donkeys, male and female servants, and camels. Right. Well, it was a sort of a dowry payment, wasn't it? He's her brother. Well, family, you know, pay the dowry. But he can't say, I don't want it, can he? Because the moment he says, I don't want it, he says, why? Because she's my wife. He can't. He's tied himself up really nicely, hasn't he? And the other thing is, I'll just make a note about this, notice the order in which they're described as. What comes first are the sheep and the cattle, the donkeys, and then people. And camels come last. Right? That's their order of importance. Animals more important than people. It's not very good, is it, then? And why camels last? Well, I'd suggest this. The Egyptians aren't too bothered about camels, because camels are for transport, and they don't need too much of that where they are, of course. Yes, they're suitable for nomads. And it's a nomad gift that they're giving Abraham. It's a Bedouin gift. Bedouin measure their wealth in camels and goats and sheep and cattle. Right? So that's what they've given to him. Right? Of course, he's really well rich now, isn't he? Abraham's well rich. And of course that's going to give him problems as well. Did you know that? Next chapter, his riches cause problems. Fancy that. Yeah, I told you, start the ball rolling. You never know. Next set, please. But the Lord, I've saved the picture. I didn't make it too gruesome for you. It's just before dinner time, so, you know. The Lord inflicted serious diseases on Pharaoh and his household because of Abraham's wife Sarai. So God steps in to extricate him from the mess that he's making, yeah? God begins to do something. And he inflicts, it says, serious diseases. Well, I don't know, it doesn't say how long that lasted for. Right? But obviously it made an impression on them. And the other is, it doesn't tell us what kind of diseases. Serious diseases means painful, to my mind.
Yeah.
Yeah? So they're all suffering. Why do innocent people suffer? Good question. It's this, because sin doesn't stay where it is. It messes up everything. And so innocent people get caught up in the sin that others do. It's one of the tragedies of what sin is all about. Praise God, Jesus is going to remove it all one day.
Amen. Yeah?
But ordinary people get caught up with some of the stupid stuff that other people do. Yeah. And the other is, I just thought the question is, how did Pharaoh make the connection between what was happening to them and his household and the fact that Abraham's wife Sarai was Abraham's wife.
Because it probably started happening when she entered
the house. The timing is one of the things. It started happening then. And it doesn't say, yeah, but somehow he got the message. Perhaps, well, I mean, Sarai's as healthy as they come.
Yeah. Perhaps a servant told him.
Well, might have been, you don't know, but he found out. Pharaoh found out. Right, next slide, please. Right. Now he really is in trouble. Right? It says, so Pharaoh summoned Abraham. Summons is a mild word for it, I should think. Yes. Yes, he had him brought in, yes. And he's guilty. Guilty as accused. And he really is in danger now. Yeah? I mean, you do that to Pharaoh. Remember, he's boss man, man in charge, life's chief, off with his head. Easy as that. Yeah? So, he's really in danger now. He's not done very well. Next one, please. And then Pharaoh asks him, what have you done to me? He said, why didn't you tell me she was your wife? Why did you say she's my sister so that I took her to be my wife? What have you done to me? Yeah. Well, I've listed a few things he's done. Number one is he lied. And as I said, in that culture, doesn't go down well. In any culture, when you found out you've been lied to, it's not very nice, is it? Yeah. So, he's lied, he cheated, he collected all those gifts and never said a word. Right, and then you brought trouble on me. Trouble's not the word for it either. He's got some disease of some sort, some pain or other. Right. So the point I'm making is your sin doesn't just stop with you, Abraham. Right? It starts to spread and it entangles and damages others. I hope we'll learn that, dear friends. Little sins aren't little sins. Yeah. They just start little, but they grow. Yeah. Dangerous stuff. Right, so, what have you done to me? Next one, please. And this is the sad thing about it. What have you done to me? Remember what the promise was to Abraham? God said to him, I'm going to bless you, and in you all the nations are going to be blessed. I'll make you a blessing. Well, it's not much of a blessing to Pharaoh, is it? No, he certainly isn't. And there's no word from Abraham in this passage. He doesn't say a word in his defense. He just hangs his head down, no reply. Well, there's a challenge for you and for me. This is it. How do we respond to just criticism? I mean, when somebody's right about what you've done, what's wrong, you know, and they say something to you, what do you do? Do you know the hardest words in the English language?
Sorry.
I'm sorry, I was wrong. Not easy to say, but we need to. Yeah, well, Abraham didn't even say that at that moment, just stump. Yeah. Next slide, please, yeah. Right. Now then, here is your wife, take her and go. Then Pharaoh gave orders about Abraham to his men, and they sent him on his way. So, he's got an official escort to get him out of the country. Perhaps one of the reasons why there was an official escort was, if the people knew what he'd been up to, they might stone him or something like that, you know. So, it's a protection, but also, I think it's also to make sure they do leave. Yeah. Yes.
Didn't they say you went with all the gifts as well?
Well, that's what we're coming to. It's the next one, the last one here, yeah. Right. Right, yeah, please. They sent him on his way with his wife and everything he had. He got away with it this time, didn't he? Did he?
No.
Well, he's still alive. He's got his wife Sarai back and she's not been harmed. Right, so everything's good. And he's got a lot of animals now as well. Stuff to go with it. So he really got away with it, didn't he?
No.
You don't? No. Sin has its way. But the sad thing is, I've got a question there. Did he learn from his experience?
No.
Well, I put the answer there. No, he didn't. Because he repeats it in chapter 20 and he passes it on to his son Isaac. How about that? Well, there's a verse in Jeremiah. Can a leopard change his spots? Once you've got into a habit, once you've done a certain thing some ways, you'll keep repeating it. Can a leopard change his spots? No. That was Jeremiah's question to the sinful people in his day. Can an Ethiopian change his skin colour? Can a leopard change his spots? And the answer you expect is no. And he says, neither can you who are accustomed to do evil. But there is hope, dear friends. Leopards can be changed. Yes, because Jesus can change the outside and change the inside. Yeah. Right? It's good news. There is a passage in Matthew 25, sheep and goats. Yeah? Sheep, at the judgment. The sheep, those that did what the Lord wanted, showed how they loved him by loving others, and the goats that looked after themselves. Yes? Now then, that's not about animals. We're all, I've got bad news for you, dear friends, we're all born goats. Yes? We're all born goats. And if you don't get changed, you'll finish up as a goat. Right? But the good news is, there are sheep that appear because they've responded to the good news of Jesus. He can change leopards, and that's good news. And he's going to be doing that with Abraham. Yeah? Abraham hasn't finished, God hasn't finished with Abraham yet. Let's have a look at our next one, please. This is the big challenge to my mind. Why on earth did Abraham say that? Because he was afraid. Yes? But I want you to just think the logic through that we should do, that Abraham should have done. And it's this. If God went to all the trouble to get Abraham out of the mess he'd made, yeah? Surely he would have protected him if he trusted the Lord in the first place. Yeah? If he'd been honest and said what was what, if God's got a plan for him and for his wife, God's going to make sure the plan happens. You can trust him. But he didn't. Because, at the bottom, Abraham's a learner. Yes. Just remember, he's a baby believer, you know. He may be 75, or, no, he's 85, isn't he? He may be, not 75 at the time, yeah. Maybe he's that old in his body, but he's just started on the journey of faith. He hasn't got it all sussed out yet. Right? So he's a learner. I've got good news for you, brothers and sisters. You aren't allowed to make mistakes. They're absolutely certain you'll make mistakes. There's a lovely verse in 1 John. It says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, notice, if we confess our sins, you're going to have some, yeah? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Great verse to remember that. That is your first aid kit, dear brothers and sisters. When you blow it, remember that verse, yeah? It's your first aid kit. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just and will forgive us our sins. Well, Abraham, you're going to be learning, but he could have thought of that in the first place, couldn't he? I mean, if God's gone to all this bother to get me from A to B, and I look just now at how he's got me out of the mess, well, probably he could have got me out of getting in the mess in the first place. Next, please, yeah? But it's all about grace, all over again. It's grace, you know. Did Abraham deserve what God did for him?
No.
No, I mean, that's a classic lesson, isn't it? He didn't deserve it. But neither do you, neither do I. Because God's gracious, he's so good. God is good. All the time. Yes. And so, in spite of us, God's carrying out his plan in Abraham's life. Yeah? In spite of us at times. And of course, some lessons are very hard to learn. Especially when they're ingrained into what we are as human beings, yeah? Right. And so for Abraham, this was going to be an ongoing one for him. There's still more learning for him to do. Will you trust me or work out your own solutions? Well, do you know what my advice is?
Trust him.
Okay, and I've got some verses. This is the last page, I think. Yes, it is, yeah? Two things to remember. Right, so don't forget to come, right? Two things to remember. Great verse in Proverbs, couple there. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your paths straight. That's God's promise. Yeah? Trust in the Lord. Yes? With all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding. What's that mean? Don't think you can figure it all out by yourself. Yeah? Yeah, you may have some ideas. I'll just say this as a practical example again. It's amazing when you ask the Lord what ideas he pops into your head for solutions. Yeah? It's amazing. It really is something you never thought of, suddenly comes to mind, and you think, wow, that'll work. Right? Trust in the Lord. He'll help you with these things. Yeah? That happened to me just the other day. Well, it happens all the time, but yeah. God can give you things that you never thought of that will work. Brilliant, yeah? Right, tight. So, and he will make your paths straight, not crooked. You can do it straight, Abraham, if you do it my way, yeah? Right. And then the other is, and the last one is this, watch and pray. That's Jesus' words to his disciples as they were preparing to lose Jesus when he was going to be crucified. Jesus says to them in the Garden of Gethsemane, "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." You can tell me that again, yeah? Great intentions, but you need to trust the Lord and ask him to help you and keep you out of harm's way. And my final thought is this. I don't even read the words. Yeah? Notice the devil's subtlety in tailoring the temptation to Abraham. What I mean by that was, I should imagine 1 in 10,000 would not be worried about being killed because of their wife's beautiful looks. Is that right? Not very frequent problem for most people. I mean, my wife's beautiful, but I'm not going to get killed because of it, I'm sure, yeah? Right? But for Abraham, that was a temptation. The devil knew Abraham's weaknesses as better than Abraham did. And he can tune the temptation to you. Brothers and sisters, that's why Jesus says, watch and pray. Because you need to be on your guard. He that thinks he stands, take heed lest he fall. Yeah. Abraham, the father of the faithful, this week he blows it. Right? Next week he does really well. That's because he's a learner. Well, it won't be next week, we'll leave that one for a week, I guess. But yeah. He's a learner. Yeah. And he's depending on obviously the grace of God. It's wonderful stuff, yeah? The grace of God. So let's pray, and I'd love us just for a moment just to be quiet and soak in that God loves you. He's gracious to you. You don't deserve his blessing, but he wants to bless you anyway. Yeah? So let's just pray. Loving Lord, thank you for what we see in the life of this ordinary human being, but an extraordinary man of faith in many ways. Lord, that probably describes us to some degree. We're special because we've been made for you, Lord, and we've come to know your love. And yet we're very ordinary, weak human beings in ourselves. Lord, forgive us where we fail. Help us to trust you more. And help us, Lord, to realize, as I'm sure Abraham did when he got out of Egypt, and he got his wife, and he got out safe, he must have breathed a sigh of relief. Lord, thank you. You love us. And you're gracious to us. And I just pray you help us in these few moments when we're still, Lord. You'll minister in our hearts right now, in Jesus' name. Lord, thank you in the hustle and bustle of our lives. Lord, it's so easy to leave you out of it, let things squeeze you out, Lord. I pray for myself and for all of us, Lord, that we'll find time for you. That'll get things in perspective. That'll sharpen and lighten our faith and dampen down our fears. Thank you, Lord. You're on our side. Lord, you're on our side. Because we come to you through Jesus. We thank you. It's all because of your amazing grace shown to us in Jesus himself. So we ask your blessing. Pray for your strength and your wisdom, Lord, to do the right thing at the right time in the right place. We ask your mercy, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.